Hello and welcome to the BS History Podcast. My name is BS Dreyer, and whether or not those initials are fitting, I'll let you judge. Now, today I just wanted to share a few thoughts on the modern day perception of ancient religions. It struck me as kind of interesting how inaccurate the simplified versions that we are taught in school about ancient peoples and their spiritual lives really is. Take the ancient Greeks and the slightly less ancient Romans. We know the names of many gods in their pantheon of gods, which of course has very great similarities because the Romans took over many of the gods from the Greek pantheon and sort of made them their own, giving them new names. You know, Zeus becomes Jupiter, and we know that Zeus or Jupiter is at the top of this pantheon, and then comes all the other gods: Apollo, Venus, Mars, Dionysus, Poseidon, and so on and so forth. So that's sort of our perception of it, and we tend to think that that is also the perception that the ancient peoples, the Greeks and the Romans in this particular case, we tend to think that it's the same kind of image and understanding that they had. In this pop culture image of ancient religions, which spills over even into movies that aim at some historical accuracy, we see the ancient peoples kind of unified under the tenets of this particular pantheon, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of room in most pop culture renditions of history for the kind of push and pull and innovation and change that those ancient religions were actually subject to. The simplified version that we are basically sold, I mean, in the case of the Greeks, for instance, is that all the ancient Greeks agreed that Zeus is the main man, and Aphrodite is super beautiful, and Ares is real angry and strong and, you know, warlike, because he's the war god, and, you know, maybe some, we have this vague idea that in Athens, it was Athena that was the main god, and then Sparta, it was more Ares or some other war god, and maybe we have that vague understanding, and that's about it really, which is kind of interesting because the truth is, of course, much more complex and much more layered and, quite frankly, more interesting than we kind of get to see it in most pop culture and even in most teachings of ancient history. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, I'd wager that you're better informed than 99% of people. But even so, looking a little into it, there are many things about ancient peoples and their relationship with religion and spiritual beliefs that honestly surprised me a little. Now, when it comes to the Greeks and Romans, the average observer may have some notion that certain professions would perhaps pray more or sacrifice more to gods related to their livelihood. Hephaestus, the Greek god of metalwork, would be a very clear example, or Ceres, the goddess of fertility for agricultural workers, would be another good example. But gods had more complex roles than that. Take Juno in the Roman tradition. Her main role, seems to have been as a goddess of marriage, primarily. But Juno was also divine defender of Roman communities, giving her, at times, a distinct militaristic role, both in terms of how people perceived her and also how they worshipped her. And indeed, the aforementioned Hephaestus and Ceres both had much more complex roles, and a deep dive into their meanings for society is a vast undertaking. You can ask any classicist. But suffice to say that when we think of these different gods as the god of X, you know, Poseidon is the god of the sea, that is not the whole explanation, and it certainly isn't how ancient peoples would likely have perceived them. You take a god like Poseidon, you know, god of the sea, well, he might have also been god of sailors, or perhaps even at times in different traditions and different stories, more of an adversarial figure to sailors, or indeed to fishermen, because he was protector of the sea life. But then also, precisely because he's the protector of the sea life, he's the one that grants the human fishermen what fish they can catch. So, you know, it's a good idea to be on good footing with this particular god if you're in that particular profession. But it wouldn't have just been you, and it would have been perhaps, you know, anybody looking to take a voyage across any body of water might have prayed to him specifically. And even then, it's kind of not that clear-cut of an image, because Poseidon, of course, had sons and daughters in the Greek tradition, and he had many different, like, underlings who would have taken on different duties depending on where you were and what the priests in that particular place told you. So it really was, just with that one example, with that one god, it was more complex than we tend to think. And indeed, adding to this complexity is the issue of geography. The nature of which gods took precedence would vary according to not only your profession, but where you lived. You can probably easily imagine that at the height of Roman power, in peaceful winemaking valleys in central Italy, Ceres and other fertility deities were obvious favorites of the local population and the local priesthood. In a military outpost at the edges of the Roman Empire, Mars and Jupiter are more likely favorites, both for the soldiers and indeed for the civilians who lived there. To further complicate things, at all points in history, as Greeks and Romans and whoever else expanded their territories, they came into contact with foreign peoples, with foreign ideas. The foreign people met these other people, and their beliefs mixed and matched and created syncretic belief systems. Syncretism, of course, is the act of merging religious beliefs. So a celebration of Saturnalia, an ancient Roman winter festival, would look very different in different parts of the Roman Empire. In Spain, it would be one kind of thing, and in Britain, a totally different kind of celebration. In Rome itself, it would take a very different kind of shape. And, you know, in Syria, it would be a totally different thing. And in North Africa, it would be a different thing. And of course, you know, the upper class, the people who were sent to these provinces in order to govern them, likely part of the Roman aristocracy, would perhaps not change their beliefs or their way of celebrating that much. They would want it to be as close to what they knew from Rome as possible. But the people who lived in those provinces, not just the people who lived there already, but the Romans who came into those provinces, would have had to contend with, you know, other peoples who had different perspectives on life and religion and belief. And striking that balance, you can just imagine that many Romans would have tweaked their own beliefs a little bit. And as multi-generational families were established in different parts of the Roman Empire, those families' beliefs and what gods they would pray to and how they would worship them would change as they intermarried with the local population and took aboard some local traditions and ways of doing things. And the complexity of ancient belief systems does not stop there either. There are some remarkable examples of beliefs that are glossed over in much conventional education about the time period that can really change how we think about spirituality in the ancient world. For instance, some philosophies of ancient Greece even seem to indicate that the adherents viewed the holy and godly as linked in one singular divinity, making their beliefs much closer to monotheism than people tend to think any ancient Greeks had. And when I say some philosophies, I here primarily think of Stoicism. If you look into that, you will see that some of the Stoic philosophers kind of seemed to think that, you know, all these gods were really just manifestations of a singular divinity, kind of monotheistic in principle, at least, if not in explicit terms. And undoubtedly, some of the listeners of this podcast have been aware of these factors before. On a relative scale, Rome and Greece are not that far removed from us in the West in time and culture. So let's turn to ancient Egypt. Here, the common perception of religion is even more kind of ludicrously simplified in modern day perceptions. We tend to have this image that the ancient Egyptians believed that the pharaoh was a divine ruler, earthly representative of Horus. The gods were many. Ra was the sun god. Anubis was the underworld god. There were mummies and promises of an afterlife. And that is sort of a rough outline that many of us are acquainted with in schools and in sort of popular culture. However, Egypt under the pharaohs existed in various forms with many, many different dynasties for multiple millennia, around 3,500 years. It was invaded by other peoples, it invaded other peoples, it was under the influence of travelers from across the Mediterranean Sea, from Nubians to the south, and generally it was a perhaps more cosmopolitan place than we tend to imagine it as. And with kingdoms and dynasties breaking up and forming all throughout those many centuries, of course the idea that the religion would stay roughly the same is kind of unlikely, to say the very least. The variations of the ancient Egyptian spiritual belief are still probably quite surprising. The earliest pharaohs, for instance, practiced human sacrifice in a way we more associate with Mesoamerican cultures like the Aztecs today. But they did indeed practice that kind of ritualistic human sacrifice. And that is not an image that we have of the Egyptians. But there it is. That was sort of the early religious beliefs, it seems, of the Egyptians, had something to do with human sacrifice, which of course later was completely lost in Egyptian religious systems and spiritual beliefs, because we don't see it in later periods of ancient Egyptian history in the archaeological findings. We only find it in the early kingdom period. Now, that's not the only surprise that ancient Egyptian religion has. During the 18th century, around 1350 BC, the pharaoh Akhenaten promoted a monotheistic, complete replacement of the polytheistic religious system that had existed up until then. This was quickly reversed after his death, but it shows that the idea was there. And his belief was that, you know, the peoples of ancient Egypt, his people would benefit from just having one god. In his case, it was the god Aten. And this god would then protect and serve his people. And they wouldn't have to pray to all these different gods. And it would just be an easier and better system. But of course, there was a whole priesthood with a lot of identity and money and prestige riding on the sort of preservation of their particular polytheistic belief system that they were the heads of, so that never happened. But the point is kind of that, you know, if you think of Judaism as the first monotheistic religion, you are sorely mistaken. And the gods themselves in ancient Egypt changed dramatically over time. The names Imhotep and Amenhotep might ring a bell for some. Both were actually commoners that were later deified, and the only two we have any historical record of, where we both know for sure that they lived as real, normal humans, although they did eventually become gods in the eyes of some, at least. Imhotep, the first example and probably most famous of the two, lived in the 27th century BC. In the available records, he was first mentioned again about 1200 years after his death, and during the following millennia, a cult was created around him, with stories created to warrant his divine status. We can't say for sure that there were no others like him. In fact, it seems very likely that there were, and that there would have been at times different cults coming up around different people and persons like him that were deified and worshipped as gods, and then either fell out of favor or perhaps their sort of status as gods were more short-lived. But new gods also were imported from foreign lands or fought up internally in the Egyptian kingdoms. So if you take two ancient Egyptians from two different points in ancient Egyptian history and make them meet and discuss religion, they would likely disagree about a whole lot of stuff. Now, I have focused on Greece, Rome, and Egypt, but across the globe, the examples of how religious beliefs changed have been many. Arguably, the most important ancient civilization, the Chinese, is another example. From sun worship in the very early days to complicated indigenous philosophical traditions that took on a religious status, later merging with Buddhism coming in from India, the religious lives of the ancient Chinese peoples was equally varied and subject to change. And what struck me most about all of this when I was thinking about it is that while we ignore the complexities of former religions for our ease of understanding, we understand perfectly well that modern day religion is very complex. Very few people today think that all Christians are Catholics. Very few people think that all Christians believe the Pope is the head of all Christianity. We understand that Christianity has many, many different interpretations, and Christians have many, many different ways of living as Christians. And the same goes for all other major religions. We understand that, you know, Islam is not the same in Indonesia as it is in Saudi Arabia, and we understand that Judaism is not the same in, you know, the Hasidic community in Brooklyn versus the much more relaxed version you might find in the coastal city of Tel Aviv in Israel. And that same complexity we really should acknowledge existed for ancient peoples. It makes no sense to think that all Greeks thought Zeus was the most important god. A majority of Greeks, for most of ancient Greek history, did, sure, but not all, and not at all periods were Zeus the head of the religious cults in different places. There were variations on a theme, so to speak, and that is true of any other ancient people when you look deep enough into their religious beliefs and rituals and how they perceived the spiritual side of human nature. In short, none of it was static. And this, of course, goes beyond religion. And other movements, both social and political, shaped and changed ancient societies in much the same way that social and political movements change our lives. The thing is, the everyday life of ancient peoples was not as static as they appear to us today. When we picture history and think of ancient Athens as a democracy or of Rome as an empire, we're only looking at periods in the history of those peoples, sometimes a relatively small period, It just happens to be the period that's most interesting, or that was written the most about, or that we know a lot about, and so that becomes our picture of that people. And it isn't an accurate one when you just look at one particular period. It's a bit like thinking you understand a person because you've known them for 1 year out of their entire lives, then you know their whole history. We know that that's not the case. And similarly, when we think of Egyptians as worshipping Ra and the Pharaoh, or ancient Chinese as Taoists, we're looking only at part of their histories. And in some cases, indeed, we are only looking at parts of their societies. The spiritual belief of a culture in Xi'an during Tang Dynasty China was likely very different from a peasant in Guangxu during that same time period in that same empire. I think what it boils down to is that we modern-day humans tend to think of peoples who lived in the past as simpler, stupider than us, and capable of less. But it is, when looking at their lives and what they left behind, hard to ignore that their spiritual lives were basically as advanced as ours, even if their technological capabilities were nowhere near ours. Alright, well, I hope that today's musings have been food for thought. I'm on Twitter, at BSHistoryPod. That's at BSHistoryPod. Feel free to reach out with questions and comments. And as always, I hope you think today's episode had a little more history than BS. And thank you for listening.